Hey, everybody, and welcome to Wife Me Up. I'm your host, Megan Faulkner, and I love hanging out with you here in podcast land. It is so fun to chat and learn and hear stories together. I'm just so glad that we are all here. Hey, my book, Happily Ever After All, will be available for pre-order very soon, so make sure to be checking my socials for updates on all of things book related. I do want to take a minute and just say thank you so much for your support and your kindness in this season. I'm just feeling very overwhelmed with goodness right now, and I'm just so excited to see how God uses this project to share hope with others. So thank you for being in it with me. Hey, now on to some more good stuff. Today's guest is my new friend and yours, Erica Renaud. Erica's new book, Pray With Me, releases on Tuesday, April 4th, and we get to chat with her about it today. I'm so excited. So make sure that you check out the link in the show notes to get her book, especially if you love kids or have kids or know kids. Her book will be an incredible resource to you. Erica Renaud signed with David C. Cook after winning the Proverbs 31 Book Proposal Challenge in 2021. As a speaker, author, wife, and mom of five, Erica brings a Christian perspective to matters of the heart and home, as well as of the world and culture around us. She speaks at conferences and events and has hosted a weekly radio show at home and abroad. Erica and her husband are active in their multi-campus congregation where they lead prayer and worship gatherings. And we actually talk about that a little bit in the podcast today. So I just know you're going to love Erica as much as I do. I know you'll love hearing her heart on this episode. Whether you have kids or not, you will leave totally encouraged by this. Erica is so fun to be around, and I just loved, loved, loved being here with her today. So I know you're going to love it too. Hey, remember, Wife Me Up is for the single person who wants to feel like they're a part of the club. It's for the married person who has anyone single in their life. It's for the dating, the engaged, the enraged, and every single person in between. My hope is that this show will provide a little humor, a lot of fun ideas, and ways that we can all be a little more connected to each other's stories. To not isolate or assume, but to engage and ask. To tell stories, to share ideas, and to, as often as possible, create things for others to enjoy. Because what actually is life if it's not shared? Here is my conversation with Erica Renaud. Well, Erica, welcome to Wife Me Up. I'm so, so excited to have you on the show today. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, I'm super excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Of course. So can you introduce yourself to our community? Tell us who you are in the world, what you do, anything you want to share.
Sure. Yeah. So my name is Erica Renaud. I'm a mother of five. My oldest is 18 and my youngest is six. I am most of the time I'm a stay-at-home mom. I homeschool my three youngest I homeschool. But the rest of the time I like speaking. I like writing. Those are like my side hustles, if you will. but really, my family is most of my time. Yeah.
So. I love that. Those are my side hustles. So good. So you're here today to talk about your new book, which is called Pray With Me. What can you tell us about your book? What inspired you to write this particular content? What spurred it on? How'd you know this was the book you were going to write? Like, tell me anything possible that you can.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, so so my book coming out is called Pray With Me, Help Your Children Engage in Authentic and Powerful Prayer. And I around 2020, you know, everything changed. I feel like every story starts with in 2020.
Yeah, we had like a pre-pandemic life and a post-pandemic life.
Yes, right? Yeah, okay. So around 2020, several speaking engagements got canceled. And I just felt, you know, for any listeners out there that just, whether you're teaching or you just like speaking, there was like this like welling up inside of me. Like, I have content within me. I have this fire within me, right? And there's no like, now there's no outlet. So I started just like writing as if I was speaking to a room full of women, just saying things. And as I was doing that, I thought, you know what, like maybe I've always thought about writing a book. Maybe like I should pursue that. I don't know, you know, just so, I'll give you the short version of the story. The short version is I did start pursuing that. And, but I was like, well, what, you know, what, do, what am I supposed to write about? And I heard, I was listening to kind of like a, I guess you'd call him a writing coach. I don't know if that's what he would call himself, but
sure.
Function sort of like a writing coach. It was just like this online workshop. And he was like, yeah, I mean, if you're not sure which direction, because a lot of times when you start brainstorming a book, you kind of have a lot of different ideas and it's sort, but you really have to hone in like on one idea, right?
Yeah.
So he's like, if you have a few different ideas, he's like, write about the thing that's most obvious that you spent the most time doing that you can talk about most easily. And I thought, well, that's prayer, probably, for sure. My husband and I have been leading prayer and worship together since before we were married. That's just like a passion of ours. And then as I thought about it more, I was like, oh my gosh, it's not just prayer though, it's praying with children. So, which kind of happened, you know, I would love to say, I had my kids and I prayed with them all the time. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. You know, and like I had all these like,
I'm doing like, it perfectly.
No, yeah. Like I would love to say that it was just like my own intentionality, like practiced in my home that led to like these amazing revelations. But it wasn't, it was really like accidental. My husband and I were helping with a small group of people lead this weekly prayer time. Well, like, I don't know what your church is like or what listeners' experiences are, but like my experience is nobody shows up for prayer.
Like, it's true.
It's like have a prayer meeting. Like you may have a congregation of 500 people, but like 10 or less are going to show up to pray.
That's right.
And actually our congregation was, I shouldn't say, not our congregation, the building that we met in was cold. It was an old state armory. So I don't, it's like, you know, so it actually had like this, this hideout like wall that was like, the walls were like 3 feet thick, like where they would like keep stuff. So bizarre,
wait,
right?
It wasn't in use.
Yes. Right. So, I mean, it was cool, like from a spiritual sense, cause I was like, we're here like to battle. Right.
Battling.
So it's just like this spiritual battle that's happening within these walls. So, you know, to affect our city. Right.
Sure.
So it was cold. It was either cold or it was hot, basically. It was in New Jersey. So in the wintertime, you wore your stupid looking winter coat through the whole service, right?
Yep.
So that's what the building was anyway. And so then when you call a prayer meeting, it's like nobody's there. So what happened was the people who were running it were also trying to do nursery. And it just got to the point where it was like, we don't have anyone to do nursery. Like we all had young kids. Like we're trying to run this prayer meeting, but like we don't have anyone doing nursery. And it was just like, you know what? The kids can be a part of it. We don't need to stick them in the nursery.
Yeah.
They don't need a babysitter. Let's just bring them in here and make it work.
Yeah.
So we bought a bunch of art supplies and I don't even think this was my idea. Honestly, I think this is just kind of like what happened. Probably like an old friend is listening like, that was my idea. I bought all the art supplies. Like,
yeah,
I don't even remember.
Yes, you did.
We bought a bunch of art supplies. Somebody bought a bunch of art supplies. We set them on the back table of the room. We also at some point got a bunch of flags so the kids could just dance in the back. And it was like, these kids are a part of it.
Yeah.
These kids are engaging, on a different level than we might as adults, you know, but they ended up drawing these amazing pictures. Just, you know, would spend time writing things down or reading their Bible or whatever for this two hour long, don't even remember how long it was, prayer meetings.
Yeah.
So that was really, I think, that kind of the beginning stirrings of, yeah, this is for kids. This isn't like an adult thing. I mean, it is for adults too, right? But it's not like just an adult thing.
Yeah.
God is calling the children. And yeah, they may engage with him on a slightly different level, but they're engaging with him.
Yeah.
So as I kind of was thinking about prayer and writing a book, I just, you know, the first thing I did was Google, what kind of resources are there for praying with kids? And this is a crazy thing. I don't know like if it was the specific words I typed or what, but it came up with a ton of Muslim resources.
Oh, interesting.
Teach your children to pray. These Muslim prayer mats. I can't even remember now, but all these resources for Muslim children. And I thought, my gosh, why is there so many Muslim resources to help these children pray and Catholic, right? There was some Catholic in there too, but you know, it's like these tangible things to help kids pray that were for sale and whatever. So I'm like, well, I got some things to say. I got a lot to say. You know, it's like the more I thought about it, the more I was like, I got a lot to say. And I just all the things that I had done with my kids throughout the years when nobody was looking, when nobody cared, when nobody asked me to, I just did them because it was a part of life. It was just like I'm reading in my Bible, you know, about Elijah on Mount Carmel. And I'm like, guys, listen to this story. You know, Elijah prayed that fire would come down from heaven and daggone, it came, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, right? So it's like, it wasn't, it was very, like, I cannot emphasize how not glorious praying with my children has been.
Right.
Like, not like pretty, not like sometimes like the kids will pray things like for their brother to hear, like, and help him to not be such a jerk, you know, like. So it's just like, I can't emphasize enough like how casual and not glorious prayer has been. Mm-hmm. But just the more that I explored it, the more I realized, wow, I can speak into this. I'm so imperfect. I'm so not glorious, right? Mm-hmm. The things that we do are so not special, but like, oh my gosh, I have a lot to say and nobody's saying it. Nobody's saying these things.
Yep.
So that was, I don't know, that ended up being the long answer. I said it was a short answer, ended up being the longer answer.
No, it's so good.
That's what I pursued, yeah.
I was thinking about when you were discussing the prayer meeting and just inviting the kids into it. I love this thought. This is not an original thought. I heard this somewhere that like, there's no junior Holy Spirit, right? Like there's no here's the Holy Spirit for the adults and here's the Holy Spirit for the kids. And so if we're gonna usher kids into like kingdom living and walk with them through what this looks like, they experience the fullness of God just like we as adults can experience the fullness of God, and they might even sow a little bit more just because of their faith like a child, like this is what we believe. Okay, sounds good.
I'm in. I totally agree with you. There's not like a amateur or junior mini Holy Spirit. And I think they have less, and that actually, as I was writing the book, that kind of came out even in my, that kind of like welled up in my spirit a little too, that as I'm writing these ideas, thinking, you know, they actually have way less hindrances. Like it's so important that we help them to engage with God at this age, right? When they're not as, they tend to have way less self-doubt.
Yep.
They tend to have, for lack of a better word, like a fresher faith. You know, like I have to work through like disappointment. Like, God, I prayed for this. And like, gosh, it's been like 10 years. Nothing has happened. You know what I mean? Like I'm working through my own disappointment, my own like callousness just from life, from hardship, right?
Yeah.
And the kids don't have that. They're just kind of ready to go.
Yeah.
And like, why not do what we can to show them you belong here,
right?
In this place, in this space. Yeah, God is for you.
It's so beautiful. I love that. I love that you started talking about your family and how you said, I'm so not glorious. This is not perfect. Like this is not a time that it was like Shekinah glory. We're all experiencing this power of God. You're like, no, look at this. There's fire and it came down. Like we're all kind of on this level playing field, but can you talk to us a little bit about your family in terms of like, who's who? I love you have five kids. You said 18 to six.
Yeah.
So your parents the gamut right now. You're really in all sorts of it. But what kind of practices that you talk about in your book have kind of translated into your family life? And what does that look like?
Yeah, that's a good question. I should preface by saying I on one hand, I really don't like talking about my family because for two reasons. One, it's not glorious, right? It's so casual. But then on the other hand, like I also don't want to say something that like sounds really impressive and have somebody be like, oh yeah, like, I want to be them. But I'll share just a couple things, right? So that's my preface for saying I'm going to share some things. So I think we've tried to make prayer around dinner time a priority. Mm-hmm. So after dinner, doing some kind of Bible reading, devotion, prayer time, we've tried to make that like a standard. Now, that being said, I have teens, We have activities. My husband works for our church, right? So there's small group nights. There's two different small group nights. Sometimes there's worship night. My kids are involved in sports in various seasons. So that doesn't either, it doesn't always happen, or it's just super rushed. Or everybody gets some leaves and then I get ticked off and I yell at everybody to come back. And like the whole study is ruined because I've been a jerk to everybody.
Yes.
So, but that, you know, if I'm thinking about family culture, we have tried to create that culture. Yeah. I would say music is another thing. My husband led worship for, I don't know, 16 or 17 years. And so music has just always been it's just always playing. Sometimes it's annoying, honestly. Like, yeah. Okay, let's just, can we have like a moment of silence, please? but that's actually, you know, a beautiful thing in that the kids are growing up with worship music all the time, right? Yeah. There's usually music playing. Two and a half of my kids enjoy playing the piano. And I wouldn't say this out loud, but I secretly wish the piano was like in a room a little bit further away, sure. But that doesn't exist in my house. So the piano is right in the middle of the house. Like if anybody's playing the piano, it's like, okay, well, so, okay.
We're all,
like,
you know, practicing piano right now.
So it's, you know, it's beautiful. And then it's also like, okay, I guess we'll just have this conversation later. Cause we can't talk anymore. Cause piano. Yeah. Those are some things that we do. I would say some cultural things. Yeah.
What about a parent who's listening and you're like, I don't want to paint this picture where, you know, we're perfect or we're glorious or, you know, whatever, any of these things. So what about a parent who might feel stuck where they're like, oh, I'd like to implement that post-dinner, you know, kind of family time. But again, I have teenagers, my kids are running all over the place, or I don't even know where to start. When it comes to helping their children grow spiritually, what can you tell the listener today who is struggling to just parent in this world, right? Like that's hard enough in itself, just to be a parent in 2023 is so difficult, let alone teach biblical truths and see spiritual growth in their children. So how would you encourage a parent who maybe feels stuck? And then maybe even, can you give us a practical step that a stuck parent could take to kind of move toward that kind of life or culture of spiritually discipling their children?
Yeah, okay. So I have the problem where I have a lot of thoughts. So I'm going to share some of my thoughts and then, and you know, for those of you listening, like my hope is that you won't feel overwhelmed by these thoughts, but there'll be one of them that you hear that you're like, okay, yeah, I can do that.
Yeah.
So my first most practical thought would be, you know your own kid and you know your family. So I would say just to the first step, I would say, is find a time to pray. Now, depending on your family, the best time to pray may be when you're all together, right?
Yeah.
But it may also be with the one child you're most concerned about on the way to school in the morning or right before bed. So just one of the things I talk about in the book, actually, is that prayer can often feel like another thing to do. And I feel that way myself. The practice that we have kind of adopted is to find things that are already a part of the day that you can tag prayer on to. Prayer isn't its own thing in of itself, right? But like, so for us, we always eat dinner, right? Even if it's cereal, we always eat dinner. So we can just add prayer to that thing that I can count on every day. Same thing with going to bed. Like every night your kids are going to go to bed without fail. Hopefully. infants are a little iffy, but you know, generally speaking, we all go to bed at some point. If prayer becomes something attached to that activity that's already happened,
already doing.
Yes. Then prayer is no longer a thing to do. If you attach prayer to your drive on the way to school,
right,
then prayer isn't another thing to do. It's just a part of what you're already doing.
Right. I love that. That's great.
Yeah. So I would say just find a time to pray, and you'll have to decide, are you going to be able to do that most consistently as a family, like something like dinner, or one-on-one with, with a child or maybe a couple children or whatever. So just find a time that you can do that consistently, casually. You don't need to make a big thing of it, right? So that would be one piece of advice. Another piece of advice I'd say is go to, like, the older my kids get, the more I realize I cannot be the only Christian adult influence in their life.
That's right.
Right? So if your church is having a prayer meeting, go to the prayer meetings. Drag them along. Bring them, right? Yeah. Find other people that that you're like, oh man, these are going to be a good influence on my children. Just being around other people. They don't have to, you know, take your kid to coffee or something, sure. Right? Just right. Be around them. It's like it's the blessing of the body of Christ that we're not just doing this alone, right? Yeah. That involves other people. And then I'll just say my last piece of advice would be that there are so many amazing resources for every age imaginable.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get your kid a very junior storybook Bible, like yeah. Even my son, before he could read, he had, it was like called Jesus Loves the Children or something. It was a super old book. And it was just stories about like Jesus and the kids or something like that. That doesn't make sense in all I'm saying out loud, but it was something like that. And he just looked at the pictures and right. He would just ask me questions about the picture. So he had no idea what the word said, but I told him, I was like, oh yeah, well that's Jesus having the kids sit on his lap. Oh yeah, that's God, you know, praying for right. The children. Oh yeah, that's Jesus healing the leper, right? Yeah. So he's like, he's learning about God just by seeing these pictures, right? So my last piece of advice would be just find some age-appropriate resources and just hand them to your kids. You don't have to force it, you know, do what they want with it. Put a little, buy a little basket so it can sit right underneath the foot of their bed, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, encourage them to take it out at night, whatever. So just some age-appropriate resources.
I love that, where just those things are a part of their world, they're in their world, you're providing this resource, they can choose to pick it up, they can choose to read it, they can choose to look at the pictures and ask questions or not, but you're doing a part by saying, I'm going to provide this thing for my child, I'm going to have this thing available to them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was actually just reading in Ezekiel about Ezekiel standing before the dry bones. And God says to Ezekiel, do you think these bones can live? And Ezekiel's like, well, God, only you know. And I feel like that all the time. Like, well, yeah. God, I don't know. Like, you know. Yeah, right? With only you know. And also, like, I think there was a sense of, like, only you could, too.
Right. That's exactly right. Yep.
And then God is like, well, prophesy to the dry bones that they will live.
Right.
And I was thinking, like, man, isn't that like the picture of parenting all the stinking time? It's like we have a role to play.
Yeah.
Ultimately, it's God that breathes the life into the bones, right?
That's
ultimately
exactly right.
It's God's breath that gives them light. But we have a role to play. So it's like, you know what? We can't force our kids into this. We
right.
can't make them do things. Yeah. We can't, you know, push faith on them.
Yeah.
But we can set them up. We can provide these resources and be like, God, I don't know. I have prophesied. I'm making quotes for listeners.
Right.
I have prophesied, you know, whether actually, you know, prophecy right. through prayer or just like you've done your role and
right.
you're like, Jesus, this is, I have done all that I can do. Their soul is in your hands. Their heart is in your hands. Their mind is in your hands. Please breathe life into my kids. You know, breathe your fire into them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's beautiful. I think it also goes back to what we were discussing a little bit earlier about how, so there's no junior Holy Spirit for our kids, but also we are not the Holy Spirit for kids, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
there's an act
absolutely.
Of surrender in terms of if you're a person in the, I don't have children of my own. I just love a lot of children as a youth pastor and as someone who's all of my best friends have kids who I would, you know, die for, nieces, nephews, all of those things.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of surrender if you love kids in your life, where you just have to say, okay, Lord, these are yours. I'm going to do everything in my power, everything that I know to point them to you. And after that, that's between you and them. You know, we see a lot of times as youth workers, I always say the parents are the meal and youth ministry is the supplement. Right? Mm. Like you come and we can fill in the gaps and we can help kind of navigate your family and keep you on the right course, but you're the meal parent. So we want to equip you to be the spiritual meal with your kids, to provide that for them. And then we'll supplement, right? With what is hard for your family to understand? Where can we teach that would empower your family to live bolder and more courageous and bigger and better? And what can we do as youth workers to kind of walk alongside of families through that? And a lot of times there's just these very practical things like you're talking about that parents often get stuck on, like, well, I couldn't possibly do what you do. Like, you can. All I'm doing is saying, let's open up our Bibles to 1 Timothy and see how Timothy's called a leader. You can ask that same question at home. So we've been resourcing parents with, like, kind of small group curriculum, for lack of a better word, for their homes. So whatever we talk about in small group, we send like a discussion guide home. Hey, this is what we talked about. This is where the discussion went. This is what we think you can have these conversations on the table. And the feedback's been really incredible. The parents like, thank you. Like, I didn't even know what to ask.
But
it's simple, like you're saying. I think we live in a generation and a time where things are getting a little complicated, and we're complicating even spirituality, right? Mm-hmm. And it's actually really simple. Love and please God and love your neighbor. Like, we don't have to make it complicated. And so developing children spiritually doesn't have to be complicated either. Insert a prayer time, be around a community of believers, resource your kids. These are three things that parents and people who love kids can really practically do that takes very limited time, very limited effort, very limited money even. And and we don't know what God will do with any of it. It could be awesome.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I think one of the fallacies that parents can quickly believe, like when their kids start to get a little bit older, is that they've lost some level of influence.
Yeah.
And I think all that happens is that kids just stop seeming like they care what you have to say, but you haven't lost your influence.
Right.
You know, like even as a teen, I was not like asking my parents' opinion, but they were a huge influence on my life, even when I thought that I had stopped caring, like
That's
what
right.
they said, right?
That's right.
So I think to kind of remember, we never lose our kids' influence, but
And
right. Megan, I mean, you and anyone else listening that doesn't have kids, that role of being another adult figure pointing them to Christ is huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah, I feel very blessed to play that role a lot because I still sleep at night. You know what I mean? Like, I come home from that. A full night's sleep and I have no problem.
Yeah, love it. Yeah.
And then I wake up and think about other people's children, and then I serve them throughout the day, and then I sleep again.
And you relax, and
it's great.
That's great.
It's the best of both worlds if you love kids, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, that just sounds like a good gig. Yeah.
Hey, Erica, where can listeners get this book? Can you tell us the launch date, all of like the fun stuff? Where can we connect with you?
Yeah, the best way to connect with me would be social media. I put my best foot forward on Instagram, and then Facebook gets like the trickle down.
Same.
I don't have any reason for that. It's just, that's what it is. So, so if you're a Facebook person, you can find me. If you're an Instagram person, you can find me. I think it's just Erica, E-R-I-C-A.
Yeah. We'll link your socials in the show notes. So listen,
good. So I don't have to spell my name.
Yeah. Don't spell it. Don't worry. Listeners, we hope you'll want to connect with Erica. So check out the show notes for the links to her socials for sure.
And then the book launches on April 4th. Which I'm super excited about, and I'm pretty sure all book places have picked it up. So BAM, Amazon, Christian Book, IndieBound. Have you ever heard of IndieBound? So they're connected with any of your local bookshops. If you want to see if your local bookshop carries it, you can find it at IndieBound.com. Books A Million, Barnes & Noble. All places books are sold. I think that's the line that people normally say instead of listing it all. But yeah.
I think it's fun for first time, authors getting published that we can just list all of the places. I'm always like, it's Books A Million and Amazon and Target and Barnes & Noble.
All the places.
And ask for it. If it's not there, you ask for it. You keep asking until they get
it. That's right. My gosh, I so badly want my local Barnes & Noble to actually shelf it.
Yeah.
I don't think they will. I think you have to be like a bestseller.
I think if we send enough people to your local Barnes & Noble.
Barnes & Noble, guys. Colony Center, Albany, New York.
We're going to start a campaign. Do you happen to have this book on your shelf? Oh, no, that's sad. I'll go to the other Barnes & Noble.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Oh, great.
That's
cool.
So good. Hey, we have one last question that we love, love, love asking our guests. And it's fun to see kind of the overlap. So what do you know about God now after walking through this last season of your life that maybe you didn't know before?
Okay, so I had a different answer when I missed the word this last season of life. So now I got to change my answer. Okay, after walking through this last season of life, God has really impressed upon me this idea that he goes with us, right? Mm-hmm. That we live imperfectly, we continue to mess up, and yet he goes with us. He doesn't leave us. So him going with us doesn't mean that everything is going to go exactly how we think. Him going with us doesn't mean we're not going to experience some real hard things. But him going with us means that we have confidence in him.
Yep.
I absolutely love when Moses is talking to God and Moses like complaining about himself. I can't speak. Oh, and then he says, like, send somebody else. Like, you can't get more clear than that, right?
I'm not going to be doing it.
Send somebody else. Yeah, like, I'll take a rain check. And so God, you know, like, the mom in me just would want, I should say. Like, I think about my own sons, and if I heard them saying that those things, like, the mom in me would be like, oh, son, like, you can do it. You know, you are, you're going to speak well enough and be good enough. And like, oh, son, like, don't be afraid. Like, you've got it. You know, you're smart. You're capable. Right. All these things. My boys are little, obviously. Hence the chain, hence the octave higher in my voice. Right? My boys are the youngest. They're the 6 and 9 year olds. And just everything, my parent heart would be like, oh, son, like, you can do this. Like, why, you know, why? But God doesn't give Moses any pat on the shoulder. Yep. He doesn't give Moses any, hey, bro, you could do this.
Yeah.
He's just like, well, you know what? I'm going with you.
Mm-hmm.
I can. I am.
Yep.
Well, I will be with you. And then I saw again in Gideon, when God was talking to Gideon, Gideon was like, well, I'm weak, my tribe, yada, yada.
I'm just not going to be doing this.
Yeah, right. And God is like, go do it and I'll be with you.
Yeah.
He said something, I'm drawing a blank on what his actual words were, but you know, something along those lines. I wrote it down. He says something and then he's like, but I will be with you.
But I'll be with you. That's right.
But I'll be with you. So it's like, what, well, you know, why do we have all these concerns about things when we're doing what God has called us to do? No, that doesn't mean it's going to look perfect. That doesn't mean it's going to be glorious. That doesn't mean we're going to see like miracle after miracle. What is our confidence in? That God is with us.
God is with us. That's it.
So in the last season of life, I've just had to regularly, as I feel like I've been put in situations where I just am like, God, I don't know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And like, why am I the one writing the book on prayer? Right? Like, I just like, why do they want to hear me? And I'm like, well, I don't get it. But you know what? I actually like feeling that way now.
Yeah.
Because I can say, well, God, my confidence is in you.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to write this without you. So you're going to have to write it through me and let's just team up and do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So that's the thing I guess I've learned in this last season.
Yeah. He goes with us.
Yeah.
He goes with us. Hey, thank you so much for taking the time to be on Wife Me Up today. This is such an encouraging conversation, and I'm just so excited for your book and for all the encouragement it'll give to parents and people who love kids in the world. I think it'll be an awesome resource. So thanks for writing it.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks so much for having me. And yeah, this has been great.
Yes.
Love it.
All right, listeners, we will see you over on Megan Recommends. Hey, everybody, and welcome to Megan Recommends, just a little segment where we share things that are making our world brighter and better in hopes that they will make your world brighter and better, too. Today, Megan Recommends, listening to Erica. Erica, what do you got for us?
I would recommend a podcast called The World and Everything in It.
Wait, so, that's fun.
Yeah, it's put on by this company called World News Group out of Asheville, North Carolina. And they just put out such great articles, and their podcasts, I think, are only like 20 minutes long. My favorite, each day of the week, they have a different focus. So Fridays and Saturdays are my favorite. Fridays is Culture Friday. So they recommend movies. They talk through changes happening in our culture, but it's also news. So I like listening to the news in not like a super intellectually heavy way or like a super politicized way. So I have just found World News Group, the name of the podcast is The World and Everything in It, to be super helpful. I highly recommend it.
I'm so excited. I feel the same exact way about the news. I want to be an informed citizen, but I don't want someone to tell me what to think. Like, I just want them to inform me. That's it.
There you go.
I'm so excited. The World and Everything in It. You heard it here first, friends. I'll link that to the show. I'll link the show in our show notes here. Wow, that is a lot. I will link that podcast in our show notes too.
Fabulous.